Last week, I confessed to you that I had to steal a sermon from our sister church in New Albany. I told you that. I promised you, like, I didn't want to plagiarize. I was like, this is not my work. But this week, I did. I have a sermon ready. I promise you. I'm going to give you just the, like, Cliff Notes introduction of it to set Reggie up, because his sermon's better than mine. Let's just be honest. It's better. So this is, like I said, Palm Sunday, Passion Sunday. We've been going through the Passion narrative, like basically that last week of Jesus Christ, actually the last 3 days. Last Sunday was Jesus before Pilate and King Herod. This week we are looking at, is Luke 23, when Pilate calls the chief priests together. But Jesus is now before this big crowd of people where they're given an opportunity to choose Jesus or choose Barabbas. And here's the very interesting thing, is that this crowd is a fickle crowd, because on Sunday, this is now Friday we're talking about, on Sunday they were shouting, "Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." That's Palm Sunday, where Jesus comes into Jerusalem, the triumphant entry. He comes in as not necessarily a conquering king, because he's on this colt. He's on like a little donkey coming into the city, not a war horse, but he's coming in, and they bring out the palms and they lay down their cloaks so he can walk into the city like a triumphant king. However, that's not the game plan that Jesus had. Same crowd now, 5 days later, and they have a choice. They have Barabbas, they have Jesus. They have the way of the world, they have the way of the kingdom. They have the way of violence, they have the way of peace. They have a choice, and they're in this crowd together. I don't know about you, but when I'm in a crowd, it's hard not to get caught up in the crowd. And so it is like everybody else is saying and doing these things, and I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do. I get so confused and frustrated, I forget what I'm trying to say and do. I don't know what's going on with the crowd, so you just kind of go with what the crowd says. So let me read the scripture to you. Luke 23, 13 through 25. Pilate called together the chief priests, the rulers, and the people, and he said to them, "You brought me this man as one who was inciting the people to rebellion. I have examined him in your presence and have found no basis for your charges against him. And neither has Herod, for he sent him back to us. As you can see, he's done nothing to deserve death. Therefore, I will punish him and then release him." But the whole crowd shouted, "Away with this man, release Barabbas to us." And Barabbas had been thrown into prison for an insurrection in the city and for murder. Wanting to release Jesus, Pilate appealed to them again, but they kept shouting, "Crucify him, crucify him." For the third time, Pilate spoke to them, "Why? What crime has this man committed? I have found in him no grounds for the death penalty. Therefore, I will have him punished and then release him." And with loud shouts, the crowd insistently demanded that he be crucified, and their shouts prevailed. So Pilate decided to grant their demand. He released the man who had been thrown into prison for insurrection and murder, the one they asked for, and surrendered Jesus to their will. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. The whole point that I had for you today is we have a choice. We have a choice between the way of the world, the way of violence, the way of manipulation, the way of control, and we have before us the choice, the way of Jesus, the way of the kingdom, the way of peace, the way of relinquishing control and submitting to the heavenly way of our Father in heaven. The heavenly way of the kingdom. God, I ask that you be with Pastor Reggie as he comes this morning to give us this word. The message that we have before us today is we have a choice. We can choose the way of the world, or we can choose the way of the kingdom. Speak through him that his words are your words, and that we hear what you have for us today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
So as Pastor Dave said, we have a choice. in front of us. But it is given to me that in this Easter season, as we make our choices, as we accept our salvation, we often miss the fact that the way we accept our salvation becomes a hindrance to the way other people can accept theirs. You see, it seems that in our church, we have formed the mob mentality. But our mob mentality actually more mimics our political world than it does the things that Christ was talking about. If you notice in the scriptures, as Dave said, these same people that were cheering on Jesus for Jesus on Friday would be the same people that asked for him to be crucified. These chief priests, the head of the church, the religious folk, were the ones who would turn on Jesus. They were the ones who would have Jesus nailed to the cross and crucified. They were the ones who led the people into crying out against Christ. We have begun to repeat this same behavior inside of our society. But the great thing about it as we lead up to the cross is my most favorite scripture in the Bible. And it's John 3:16, because see, John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the
world."
It says, "For God so loved the
world."
It did not say, "For God so loves the church." It did not say, "For God so loves the Baptists." It did not say, "For God so loves the Methodists." It did not say, "For God so loves the Apostolics, the Pentecostals, or even the non-denominational." It did not say, "For God so loved the Republicans." It did not say, "For God so loved the Democrats." It did not say, "For God so loved Americans, Jews, Arabs, Blacks, Whites, Chinese, or Latinos." It said, "For God so loved the
world."
That what did he do? He gave. He gave. We didn't purchase it. There was nothing we could do to deserve it. He didn't barter for it. He gave it free of charge. Free of charge. Why? Because he knew that we could not find our way back to him. Because just like the religious folk of his time, he knew that we would grow to a point to where we thought our knowledge of the scriptures was the only way to God. He knew that we would get stuck on the words of the law and miss the heart of the law. So he gave his only begotten son. Now, this is my favorite part. He gave it so that whosoever. In our church today, I wonder sometimes if we understand what whosoever means. So I'm going to break it down to you for whosoever means. See, whosoever means that LGBTQ, Jesus died for you. Lady that had an abortion, Jesus died for you. Immigrants, Jesus died for you. Murderers, drug dealers, drug users, rapists, Jesus died for you. And even though we may not like it, pedophiles, Jesus died for you. He didn't say he just died for church folk. He said that he died for whosoever would believe, because see, it's the belief that actually begins to change the man. We have begun to see ourselves as our religion, our doctrine that changes people, but the truth is, all doctrine, all traditions are man-made. I understand Paul says that doctrine is important. I understand all that, but even that doctrine is man-made. That's Paul's doctrine. Jesus' doctrine was plain and simple. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. This is the first commandment, and the second is like unto it. That's what he said. You can't have one without the other. We become very good in this world at letting people see that we love God and letting people believe that we have righteousness and going out and telling folk how much we love Jesus. But what happens when it comes time to love our neighbors as ourselves? What do? Jesus also gave a third commandment. Now, this is the most important. He said to his disciples after he had risen and he had appeared, he said to them, "I want you to love each other as I have loved you." So let me ask you a question. When you turn on your news and you see the immigrants at the border, do you love your neighbor as you love yourself? When you look out into society and you see people that have a sexuality that you don't agree with, do you love your neighbor as yourself? When you look at a woman that's made a decision that you don't like, do you love your neighbor as yourself? When you look into neighborhoods that don't live like you, whose lives you don't understand, do you love your neighbor as yourself? And I want to make this clear to everybody right now. I am not trying to justify anybody's sin. That's not what this is about. What this is about, the fact is that Jesus came, he gave his life, and he died so that all would have the opportunity to come to him and find salvation. But for some reason, we have found it amongst ourselves to feel righteous enough that certain places will keep certain segments of our society, even out of the church. You got a problem with homosexuality? That's fine with me. I'm not saying that I agree with it, but what I'm saying is, if we believe that it's an abomination to God and that they can't make it to heaven without Christ, the church is where they're supposed to be. If we think the things that these people are doing are an abomination to God and they can't get to God without Jesus, how are they going to find Jesus without the church? We expect them to find Jesus in the street from other folk that don't know Jesus. But the folk that know Jesus, the folk who supposedly accept his sacrifice over themselves, don't want to extend the same sacrifice to these other people. Now, see, I'll be honest with you. I like to tell you about my life because I feel it makes the point, because I want you to understand that I don't preach anything that didn't apply to myself. See, I used to be that exact person. In my father's church, I didn't think these people had any place inside of the church, and I could never understand why my father would allow evil into the pews. But see, along my journey, I began to understand that there is nothing that we can do to change a person. All we can do is love a person until God decides to change a person. So as we sit in this Easter season, as we celebrate Palm Sunday, and we make our way to Maundy Thursday, we make our way into Good Friday and into the Easter celebration, who did Jesus die for? Did he just die for you? But the great part is that he didn't just die. He rose again, and we view the resurrection as if he just defeated death, but that's not all he did. Jesus rose again to signify to you that you will rise again if you believe in him. He signified to you that you can rise again in this life right now by believing in him, and your life will change. Your ways will change. It is not the belief in any church. Engage Newark is not going to give you the victory of Christ. Powerline Ministries, Spring Hills Baptist, Newark Nazareth, First Presbyterian, Crossroads, none of these churches are going to give you the victory that you need in Jesus Christ. It is your belief that is formulated from the relationship that you have had with him and the way that he has interacted inside of your life. Because see, everything that God has done in my life doesn't mean he's done that for you. My understanding of what God has done in my life does not mean he has worked the same way in your life. But we have certain set principles that Jesus gave us. Not our denomination, not our book of discipline, not our doctrine, not our traditions. Jesus gave them to us. One of the things that strikes me the most about the religious folk of Jesus' time is that you do not read in the scriptures that even after they crucified Christ, that they would turn and change their ways and repent of their sin and be saved by the same man who sacrificed himself for him. My fear is that we are going into a place in the church, and I'm going to say specifically the American church, where we are going to miss the opportunity to repent of the way that we have treated God's creation and change our ways to reflect more of Christ. This is a hard message to preach. Truth is, I've beat around the bush and I've danced around this sermon for the last 2 years because I was afraid of the backlash that would come from other church folk. But there comes a time where God steps in and says, preach what I gave you to preach. Because everything else that you preach doesn't lead people to where they need to be at. It only gives them a little bit, but it doesn't give them the full victory. The truth is, you cannot make it to heaven. You cannot make it to heaven without loving your neighbor as yourself, because you cannot love God without loving your neighbor as yourself. We have adopted a mob mentality in America. We have this thing here where we need to feel like we are better than somebody else. whether that be in economics, that be in education, especially inside of our faith and holiness. We need to feel as if we are okay because we don't commit the same sins as that guy over there. But the fact of the matter is that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We treat people as if the sins that they commit now is what's going to send them to hell. But the fact of the matter is, Jesus already died for the sins that you are going to commit now. He died so that you could take these sins to him, bear your burdens to him, and allow him to change you from the inside out. But that's all wrapped up in how you love the next person that's going through the same struggle as you. We sit here and we accept the grace that Christ gave us. Why do we view it as if that grace does not apply to all? Jesus did not separate who he came for and who he died for. Scripture does not separate who Jesus came for. So why do we? The fact of the matter is, because it's easier to hold on to the things of man than it is to claim the things of God. It is easier to look at the world and say, this is what I see wrong, and because I see wrong, I don't even want to deal with those people, than it is to say, God, I don't agree with them, but I'm still going to show them your love. That's what loving your neighbor is about. Being able to love even when you don't agree with what they're doing, because the fact is, the whole reason Jesus died is because Christ and God does not agree with anything that we do. Nothing we do is righteous. There was always a double-handedness to how we live. God knew this. Christ sacrificed his own life for it. Yet we have lost this truth inside of our church. So this Easter season, ask yourself, whose salvation have you hindered? By aligning your political views with your Christianity, whose salvation have you hindered? By aligning your economic thought with your Christianity, whose salvation have you hindered? Because the truth is, if you can figure out where you have hindered other people's salvation, the most important one you've hindered is your own. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, thought, soul, and mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus said this, greater love hath no man than to lay down his life for another. Jesus literally laid down his life. I'm not talking about going out and literally dying for somebody you don't agree with. But I am saying, how much would it cost you to lay down your life and swallow your pride and love the person that you don't agree with? How much would it cost you to invite somebody that you don't agree with to come to church with you? Not to browbeat them, but invite them to come learn about the love of God that he might change their sin from the inside out. How much would it cost you? Would it cost you your freedom? Surely not. Would it cost you your place in heaven? Surely not. What it will do is more solidify your place in heaven. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. The church has an opportunity right now, because see, we blame the TV, we blame music, we blame the world on what has happened inside of our country. The truth is, the church lost its purpose. I'm not saying every church, I'm saying the church as a whole, that is the picture that the world sees. I'm talking about the face of the church in this country. It has lost its purpose. Because our purpose was to always bring people in to understand why we celebrate this specific time of year. The purpose was always to bring people in that did not know God, to allow them to understand the sacrifice that he made for them, that they might find him and become new creatures. Our purpose was never to choose sides. Our purpose was never to block off whole parts of society. Our purpose was to be the light. The church can have a resurrection. This country can become better. And let me make this clear, it's not going to become better by who you vote for in November. Fact of the matter is, both of them men are evil, plain and simple. They're both evil. When you intentionally want that much power, the love of power is an evil thing. When you intentionally want that much power, there is something off inside of you. So you can go vote for whoever you want. I really don't care. Just understand you're not voting for the better option. The only better option you have is to display the love of God. You can vote for whoever you want to in Congress to come change whatever laws they want because you think it displays your Christian values. Let me tell you part of that problem. The problem is that it's not about our Christian values. It's supposed to be about Christ values. So vote in whoever you want. The problem is they're all evil. When you vote for these people, you're voting for evil. They all want power. The only power is Christ. Love your neighbor as yourself. You cannot do that inside of our political systems. And our churches cannot do that as long as they stay tied to a political position. We celebrate a season where Christ came and died for us all. He hung on the cross next to a thief and forgave him and invited him into paradise in that very moment. He didn't wait to see if the thief made it off the cross and changed his life. He accepted his faith in that very moment. Why can we not extend the same thing to each other? It's a hard message, especially at Easter time. Easter time, we want the happy sermon that talks about how Jesus rose for you and all is well and all is good. But the fact is that all is well, all is not well and all is not good. I'm watching this country crumble and burn. And instead of being the ones who pull it back together, instead of being the ones that begin to teach society and change our culture of how to love each other and understanding the love of Christ, we have chosen sides and we play a part in the destruction that is happening. I specifically talk about America because America is the only place I know. I've never been anywhere else. I can't tell you what Christianity does anywhere. I can't tell you what it's like in England or what it's like in Japan, but I can tell you what it's like here. I've been to many churches at this point. Truth is, inside of every denomination, this problem that I'm talking about exists. Inside of every segment of our faith that we have blocked out, this problem exists. The only way this problem changes is when the people who are of God, not the people who are of Engage, or not only the people who are of Engage, not only the people who are of a specific denomination, but when the people of God decide that they have truly accepted the sacrifice of Christ, and because they have truly accepted the sacrifice of Christ, they want others to know about the blessing and the grace that they've been given. And you share this message to those who are on the edge of our society, those who Christ went to. That's what your faith should look like, is Jesus' faith. Jesus didn't hang out with the religious folk. Jesus didn't congregate with the religious folk. We got to stop sitting in our churches with each other talking about hallelujah, feeling like everything is good because we partake with other people who are saved and take the message to those that are yet to know God. There's a reason why Jesus died. Every single one of us live inside of that reason. We are here inside of this room because we know that we don't deserve the grace that was given. But being as Christ decided to give it anyway, it's time for us to decide to show that same grace to other people. Truth is, many will reject it. That's okay. Jesus says to dust the feet, dust the dirt off of your feet, and move on to the next one. Not everybody is going to accept the message of Christ. Not everybody is supposed to. But Christ's point was how we do it, how we are towards people, how we love our neighbor. So when you go home today, before you go to bed tonight, look in the mirror and ask yourself, how does your love reflect the love of Christ? And if there's somewhere inside of your love where you find yourself lacking, Give it to God to change it. If there's a segment of society that you just cannot bring yourself to love, understand I said love, I didn't say accept. You cannot bring yourself to love. Give it to God to change it. Whatever it is that you have that doesn't look like Christ, give it to him to change it. One of the things that we don't really talk about, this is why I talk about being like Christ, because it's not particularly in the Bible. Earlier people after Christ died were not called Christians. They were called followers of the way. And everything that they did, where they went, who they ministered to, how they talked, the festivals that they observed, were exactly like Jesus. They didn't believe that you could make it into heaven if you did not literally do everything that Jesus did. We need to get back to that point. Because see, what happened when we formulated the Christian faith? It was formulated under the Roman Catholic Church. And therein came the greed and the power and the way that they could control humanity through the faith in Christ. It has been perverted. It was never meant to be that. We have to get back to being followers of the way and living what true Christianity means to live. You don't have to agree with everything I say, but you have to love me regardless. I don't have to agree with everything you do, but I have to love you regardless. My love is shown in the way that I treat you. My love is shown in the way that I sacrifice for you. This is the way to accept the sacrifice that he makes on that cross. This is the way to accept the way he rose on that third day so that way you can rise again. This is the way to get into heaven. Because the truth is, without learning to love your neighbor as yourself, so that way you can learn to love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, it's not heaven you're going to. Be 100% honest about that. And I want you to think about that. It is not heaven that you are going to. We claim that all these sins that Jesus died for is what's going to get you sent to hell, but the truth is, it's what's in your heart that is going to get you sent to hell, because you can change your actions and make the world think you're perfect, but God sees what's on the inside. So unless you learn to love and accept the true sacrifice of Christ, there is no victory. I came to preach victory to you today. I came to preach the accepting of Jesus Christ and the changing of hearts. I came to preach the resurrection of life. Because all these things Christ could do. I don't care what segment of society you come from. I don't care what things you have done in your past. I don't care what things you did before you walked in that door. Jesus died to save you from yourself. Allow him to save you. Give his grace to the next person so that way they may understand that they can be saved too. Let us pray. Father, I thank you for everything because you are more than able. You are able to reach down inside of us and take the deepest, darkest, dirtiest secrets and turn them into diamonds. You are able to take the things that have been destroying us, change them around so that way we can use them to help somebody else find you. I thank you that you are the God of love. I thank you that you are not the God of hate. I thank you for giving your scriptures. I thank you for telling us your love story throughout time. I thank you for sending your son to die upon the cross that we might be reconciled unto you. But Lord, I thank you that if you could save a broken down wretch like me, that I now know that you are the God who can save anybody. Father, let your truth of your power rain down upon your people. That we might search after your heart. That we might walk away from our own ways and only focus on the gospel of Jesus Christ. That we may find those on the edges of our society and bring them closer with every step to you. Father, don't let the words that we speak be in vain, but let them all be wrapped up in your love, mercy, and grace. Let us become your light again, that we may bring about your way upon your people. Not in life after this, but in this life, Father. All things I pray, in the mighty and marvelous name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.